Good evening, folks, and welcome to our estimates this evening. This evening we will be doing Labrador Affairs. So first I'm going to do the people who are substituting. So for MHJ Wall, we have MHJ Parrott. For MHJ Tripper, we have MHJ Byrne. For MHJ Gamwalch, we have MHJ Krista Lynn Howell. For MHJ Reed, we have MHJ Crocker. And that is the substitutions for this evening. Next thing on our agenda, we have to elect the vice chair this evening. So I'm going to call for nominations. I'm going to do it three times and call for nominations from the floor. So I call for nominations.
I'll nominate the member for Jimmy Chaker Ferrell.
All right, the member for Ferryland is nominated. Is there any further nominations? Is there any further nominations? Nomination ceased. Congratulations. So we need to do a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Okay, so we're moving forward. Hope we move this quickly for the rest of the evening. So we ask everybody, we're going to get everybody to identify themselves now in a couple of minutes. So when we start, we ask everybody to raise their hand when they're going to speak. And every time you speak, we would like for you to identify yourself so we know who you are every time you're speaking. And the tally light will be on before you speak. Please don't make any adjustments to your chairs. And the water coolers, of course, and the bathrooms are just outside the water cooler is right behind me, and the bathrooms are just outside the door. And I think now we can start with the proceedings. And if we decide to take a break, we will go halfway. We will chat about it and make a decision at halfway mark through the thing. And I'm going to ask everybody now to start to identify themselves. And we start with MHJ Byrne.
Gerald Francis Byrne. Otherwise known as Jerry.
MHA Parrott.
Lloyd Parrott.
Colby Greeley, Office of the Official Opposition.
MHA Lila Evans.
Stephen Kent, NEP Caucus.
Lyle O'Driscoll, MHA Fairland.
Jana.
Krista Howell, MHA St. Barb, Lansing Meadows.
Annie McCarthy, Government Member's Office.
Steve Crocker, MHA Carbonear Trinity Beta Verde.
Lisa Dempster, MHA Cartwright, Lansing Clair.
Jason Higgins, Deputy Minister, Labrador Affairs.
Nicole Abbott, Departmental Controller.
Trevor Miller, Manager of Finance.
Sherry Snow, Assistant Deputy Minister of the Medical Transportation Assistance Programs.
Michelle Watkins, Assistant Deputy Minister, Labrador Affairs.
Alan Bach, Director of Communications.
All right, thank you. And now I asked, she's not sat down yet.
Whoops, I was trying to take care of the minister. Kelly White, Executive Assistant to Minister Dempster.
Thank you, Kelly. All right, Minister, I ask you to do opening remarks.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. Hopefully we won't be too long, but we take all the time that you need, I say to my colleagues questioning me. But like we usually do in estimates, I'm just going to take a couple of minutes to deliver a few introductory remarks. We all do agree, I know, that estimates is an important part of the budget process. And I want to thank the members of Government Services Committee for your work in scrutinizing the budget expenditures in this case of 24-25. I'm happy to be joined tonight by my team from Labrador Affairs, and if hopefully between us all we can answer all of your questions. Should we not have the information readily available, we will commit to getting it to you in a timely manner. And I'll just take a moment to tell you a little bit about Labrador Affairs. The vision of the Department of Labrador Affairs is of a strong, sustainable, and vibrant Labrador where all people have the opportunity to prosper and contribute to their communities, region, and province. Under its mandate, the department is responsible for the development, implementation, and administration of provincial policies and programs from a Labrador and rural remote perspective. Specifically, the department is entrusted with advancing the social and economic development of Labrador by ensuring the unique perspectives are considered in the formation of government policy and in the delivery of provincial government programs and services. 1 year ago, some of you might remember, Labrador Affairs became a standalone department. All functions and programs previously administered by the Labrador Affairs Secretariat were brought within the jurisdiction of the Department of Labrador Affairs. Three or four of those include Labrador Transportation Grooming Subsidy, Labrador Aboriginal Nutritional and Artistic Assistance Program, Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy Program, and School Sport NL Labrador Travel Program, the Labrador Winter Games, and the annual operating grant for the Combined Councils of Labrador. In addition to Labrador Affairs, the department has the responsibility for medical transportation assistance programs. Medical transportation assistance programs were transferred to Labrador Affairs from the Department of Health and Community Services. And I should say that it's actually two programs. So the medical transportation assistance program, which any resident of the province can apply to, it's not income tested, but also the medical transportation program for income support clients, which is probably about 20,000 people. So it's a big variance in two very specific programs and who they serve. Since April 23, Labrador Affairs undertook a thorough assessment of the medical transportation assistance programs and consulted with key stakeholders to examine whether changes could better assist patients and escorts who have to travel from rural and remote areas to larger centres to access specialised health care services. And you will recall that Budget 23 allotted an additional $1 million to fund enhancements that could be made to the programs. In May 2023, Labrador's financial assistance rates toward eligible travel expenses to access specialized insured medical services were expanded to include all residents of the Labrador-Grenfell Health Zone. So that means all of Labrador and a portion of the Great Northern Peninsula. In September 2023, the Premier and I announced enhancements at the Labrador West Health Center. A new in-province flight voucher program was established in partnership with PAL Airlines. Residents of the Labrador-Grenfell Health Zone who have to fly to a larger center within the province to access specialized insured medical services can now apply to MTAP for a fast-track upfront flight voucher. The voucher program offers patients and escorts in the Labrador-Grenfell Health Zone $1,000 in total upfront towards their first eligible airfare cost, plus an assistance rate of 75% towards any additional airfare cost exceeding $1,000. The 75% enhanced assistance rate toward eligible airfare cost also extends to patients and escorts in the Labrador-Grenfell Health Zone who travel out of province to access specialized insured medical services. These changes support a commitment from the provincial government to help ease the financial burden on travel for medical services. In January of this year, myself announced additional improvements, a new 85% flight assistance rate for Labrador-Grenfell residents traveling in and out of province with airfare cost greater than $8,000 in a 12-month period. We also eliminated the $400 deductible for residents of the island health zones who travel for medical appointments out of the province. An increase in assistance for residents of island health zones who travel out of province by air. This change means that all residents of the province are entitled to the same airfare assistance rates when they must travel out of province to access specialized insured medical services. The extra financial help for patients and their escorts, if applicable, is offered upfront or after travel is complete. And basically what it consists of, just to reiterate, is $1,000 in total, which can be applied toward the cost of first eligible flights, 75% towards additional eligible airfare costs between $1,000 and $8,000, and 85% towards costs greater than $8,000 accumulated over a 12-month period. an increase in the claimable per diem rate for purchased accommodations to 150 per night in province and 175 per night out of province, an increase in the private vehicle mileage rate from 20 cents to 25 cents per kilometer for patients who drive more than 4,000 kilometers during a 12-month period. Those enhancements have certainly resulted in a greater uptake in MTAP from all areas of the province. So the latest stats that I have, just from when we announced in September, the Premier and I in Lab West, a total of 657 voucher applications have been approved and utilized since the program was launched in September. MTAP processed 20% more claims in 23-24 over the previous year and assisted 30% more patients in 23-24 over the previous year. And due to a significant uptake in program awareness and usage, Budget 24 allotted an additional $700,000 to support the increased demand for assistance. So it was $1 million last year and now another $700,000. I'm almost done. Safer snowmobile travel. Labrador Affairs achieved a significant accomplishment in 2023 with $3.2 million in one-time funding for the Labrador Transportation Grooming Subsidy Program to enhance safe snowmobile travel for residents of Labrador's isolated communities. And just to break that $3.2 million down for you, we purchased new grooming machines for Regolet, Postville, and Black Tickle. Purchased trail markers and new infrastructure such as grooming garages and rest shelters in a number of communities. In Budget 23, the program's operating budget was increased from $471,000 annually to $611,000. The additional funding supports went for things like wage increases for staff hired by service providers. It was to help offset the higher fuel cost and cost associated with administering required activities such as trail marking, grooming, and weekly ice thickness checks. We also partnered with Smart Ice this year. Service providers supported by local, traditional, and Indigenous knowledge advised that weather conditions in the north are changing as a result of global warming, sea ice is thinning and late in forming and is oftentimes prone to breakup. Smart Ice is augmenting Indigenous knowledge of safe ice travel with advanced monitoring technology. As a community-based work integrated social enterprise, Smart Ice also supports Indigenous culture, intergenerational teaching, and community building and creating sustainable employment. The information which Smart Ice is gathering is helping communities and residents in Northern Labrador and Black Tickle under sort of the same program, make more informed decisions before traveling on sea ice so they can avoid dangerous or hazardous areas. The Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy, more than $800,000 is allocated for the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy, which provides air travel support to Labrador athletes aged 18 and under, Special Olympians, and sport organizations to participate in provincial competitions, development camps, Indigenous games, and junior varsity sport school athletes. Considering increased travel cost, we were able to increase the subsidy this year for sports travel teams. Two more points. We signed a memorandum of understanding with the government of Nunavut, myself and the Premier, with their Premier and Deputy Premier last February in Ottawa, actually. And the Department of Labrador Affairs is collaborating with the Government of Nunavut on advancing the MOU that was signed in 2023. I was pleased myself to be in Nunavut last September to support efforts in the collaboration and partnership with the Government of Nunavut. The people of Newfoundland and Labrador and Nunavut have personal, cultural, and social relationships. Both jurisdictions have strong Indigenous populations and share a like-minded approach to safe and sustainable Arctic development focused on achieving mutual benefits for Northern and Indigenous communities. The Department is also bolstering Northern and Arctic priorities at the regional and national level. And I will say that this year, Labrador Affairs is hosting the Northern Development Ministers from across the country in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, and planning for that is well underway. Labrador Winter Games. Preparations are underway for the next Winter Games, and Budget 24 allocated $700,000, an increase of $250,000 to move forward with the games. A couple of other budget highlights: more than $30 million to build the new integrated health, housing, and supportive service hub in Happy Valley, Goose Bay. The new facility will provide integrated support, treatment, and services all in one place. Approximately $18 million as part of the Provincial Roads Plan for road rehabilitation and paving in Labrador. Looking ahead, there are many exciting developments, which include the pre-feasibility study that is looking at what would be involved in building a road to the North Coast, the construction of a new school in Cartwright, events celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Labrador flag, and new housing developments in Labrador West and the North Coast. So I've just touched on some of the highlights to give you a flavor of some of the things the department is working on, and thank you for listening. That was a little longer than I normally go.
Thank you very much, Minister, and a few other housekeeping items before we get started. I do not see an independent member here this evening, but I just wanted to get an agreement if one does show up, that everybody is in agreement that they will get 10 minutes out of at the end, or just a total of 10 minutes. Is that agreeable? All in favor? Carried. All right, so I'm going to ask for a motion for the previous minutes. Is there any errors or omissions in the previous minutes? All right, I'm going to call for a motion for the previous minutes. First, we need a mover. MHJ Parrott, second. MHJ O'Driscoll. All in favor? Against? Carried. All right, I asked the clerk to call the first subheadings, please.
1.1.01, Executive and Support Services.
So 1.1.01 and
MHA Paris. I'd like to thank the Minister for opening remarks, and before we, I'm sure I have something to say at the end, but I'd like to thank everyone in the department for the time that was put into preparation to come here, and I guess we'll get on with some questions. I'll start off with some general questions. Can we get a copy of the Minister's briefing binder?
Absolutely.
Are there any errors in the published estimates book that you're aware of?
None that I'm aware of, no.
What locations are your staff located at now, and how many at each location?
So we have, with the Medical Transportation Assistance and ISMT moving in under us, we have 16 in here?
Oh. Nope.
No, you need to identify yourself.
Sherry Snow. So we have 48 that are at Regatta Plaza, and myself, I'm located here in the East Block.
Okay.
Where is my staff number?
How many people totally are employed, you know, in the whole department together?
40. Can't find my paper. Sorry.
It's okay.
59 in total.
How many retirements have occurred in the last year?
One. Thank you again.
One total?
Yes.
Yeah. Vacancies not filled in the department currently?
We have six. But one of the six is seasonal. And we are in the middle of recruitment for a couple of others, moving through, yeah.
Have any positions been eliminated? And if so, what are they and how many? They can't hear you shake your head.
That's right. No, thank you for reminding me. I know we've all had a long day. That's not recorded, yeah. Is it, in Hanser? Shaking my head. So there's been no positions eliminated, and actually we've had an influx because we inherited the Medical Transportation Program, Budget 23.
Any new hires in the last year?
Yes.
Sure.
Sherry Snow. For the medical transportation programs, we've hired 9.
How many contractual and short-term employees are in the department? Yep. How many contractual employees and short-term employees, seasonal, I guess?
4.
Okay, so there was a contract award in January 2023 regarding the pre-feasibility study of a road in Northern Labrador. What is the status of that pre-feasibility study?
So I don't want to speak for my colleague, the Minister for Transportation and Infrastructure, but at a high level, what I can tell you is there was a consultant that went out and done a piece of work, and a draft have come back to the department, and they're now going to, the plan is that Transportation and Infrastructure will take that draft and do some further consultation with, in particular, Indigenous governments in that region, and so it is moving along.
How many individual cases did MTAP handle last year?
MTAP, ...1,474 claims.
For MTAP.
MTAP stats?
Yeah, that's right.
Sherry Snow, there was 8,794 claims for the MTAP program, and for the Income Support Medical Transportation Program, we had 12,715.
You have any idea on what the total number of patients was? I would assume that
patients use it
multiple times. Yeah,
and we also actually have it broken down by zones as well. The total was 4,360.
How many requests for funding of transportation?
Sorry, it's pretty dark here. It's hard to see my small print. I'm sorry, it was 5,668 patients in the 23-24. I was looking at the previous year, so that was up from 4,360 in the previous year.
Okay.
That's correct. That's right. You got it.
Do you feel that the uptake is a result of the higher fees or sicker people?
I think more people are now aware of the program, and the enhancements that we've made, you know, where you can get a 100% of your first 1,000 covered up front. I mean, it really is incredible to have processed 657 vouchers just since we announced it last September, because we now have a very efficient, if you find out you need to go in 2 days, like we actually turn things around in 24, 48 hours.
I guess a question that was brought up here this week and near and dear to me, and I didn't know it was brought up till I seen it on Twitter today. Amputees for travel under MTAP, will they be covered going forward? Is that something the department's, like, do you review individual cases from a specialty standpoint, whether or not it's a necessity?
So I think, like any minister, a lot of things just are part of the process of departments, but if there's very challenging files, that it percolates up to the minister.
Yep.
And there are, you know, occasionally cases, challenging cases that come across my desk. And so the Medical Transportation Assistance Program, which has been in place since 1998, is to help people from rural and remote areas who have to travel to access specialized services. So if you live in Labrador and you need to see a specialist, a doctor on the ground there will refer you, and we have to have that documentation. And I know you understand why, because we have to be very prudent with the fiscal purse in terms of transparency and accountability. And with the amputee case that you are mentioning, I'll just say in general, if somebody... And it's a high cost when you have to travel from remote areas. But if somebody is traveling, for example, to the Miller Center, that's not considered a specialized services. So it would not rest under MTAP as the program, you know, the policies that are in place right now is formed. But quite possibly in health, there's special assistance grants and things like that. That's what I would do, is refer them there.
We'll agree to disagree on that one, I guess.
It's not about agreeing. I'm just saying the program today, we fund people who are referred to access specialized services, and we follow a list that is under MCP. So the medical care program, like, we don't determine. We administer the program, but health has a list of what's covered under medical the medical care plan for Newfoundland and Labrador. And that's
but
kind of the goal.
But prosthetics aren't covered under MCP. Therefore, MTAP wouldn't cover the travel, which doesn't make sense because it is a specialized service based on the fact that there's only one place in the province to get it done.
Yeah. No, all I'm saying is if somebody is traveling and they're not referred to a specialist,
sure,
then that's the limitations around this program.
Yeah. Is there any money allocated for the purchase of a third medevac aircraft?
So that would be a question for transportation and infrastructure. What I can tell you is as we continue to move forward implementing the recommendations in the health accord, one of the recommendations is around a provincial-wide road and air integrated service. So the things I've seen is going to be a much, much more improved service, some parameters around it. And that's moving along, and you'll be hearing more in the not-too-distant future.
What is the current status of the support hub for Happy Valley Goose Bay?
The status of the support hub?
Yeah.
So that's being led by my colleague, the minister responsible for housing. Budget 2024 did commit $30 million to build an integrated hub to provide treatment, supports, wraparound services to the vulnerable population. A design is done. An architect, has worked on that. Lots of contact back and forth with Central Labrador. And housing folks are going up again next month to hold two more days of public consultation sessions, just to have an opportunity to explain to people in the area that might have questions about what it is they're building and where it's going and the supports it's going to provide, et cetera.
Do we know what the annual contribution is going to be for completion? I know the $30 million is allocated, but is it over a set period of time?
I wouldn't know that. That would be my colleague, the Minister for Housing, to answer.
And any idea of timeline on completion?
Michelle Watkins. Based on housing's estimation, their goal is to let the tender in this fall of this year.
Okay.
So it's probably 18 months beyond that.
Are there any consultations regarding development of Gull Island taking place in Labrador now?
That wouldn't be for me to answer anything about Gull Island. That would, yeah.
Okay. $3.75 million allocated in the budget to improve air access to the province. Is any of that being spent specifically for Labrador air access? If so, do you know how?
You're not referring to MTAP and the program. You're all I can tell you is I appreciate that the cost of air travel is very high and challenging, and I know that when it comes to medical transportation assistance and people who have to travel to access specialized services, that is why this program is so heavily used. It's over almost $6 million budget now that we're working with.
I asked the question because Labrador West, not Goose Bay, if you're a resident of Labrador West and you fly to Montreal, the maximum you pay is $500, and the Quebec government actually subsidizes that.
Well, I had heard they did but at one point, they no longer do it.
No, yes, they absolutely do. Yeah. I just flew my mom to Ottawa, and I landed her in Montreal in order to do it. But it's done in order to, because of Fermont. That's why it happens. Fermont is 27 kilometers away. The residents of Fermont go to Labrador West to utilize the airport. But, I would argue from any standpoint, when we look at people flying out of Labrador West specifically, and if it's a vacation or anything else, we're losing an incredible amount of revenue because of that. So I would suggest.
I can tell you, since the road have gotten completed there's a huge amount of traffic that I see all the time on the ferry in the Labrador Straits because they're now driving out. But a lot of them, if it's vacation, they're taking their motorhomes and everything as well.
Is there any? Do you have any indication of what the timeline for the deployment of the mobile crisis unit in Cheshire is? It was announced in the budget.
Yeah, so it was just announced in the budget. You know, we go through our 75 hours of budget debate, and the budget has to pass, and then I'm sure that my colleague in Health and Community Services will make it a priority.
There's more than 100 announced new Newfoundland housing units. How many of them will be built in Labrador West? Do you know?
I don't have the number that would be under housing. I do know that our budget announced 12 million in units for the north coast of Labrador. Those units came in at a rough estimate draft at about $1 million a unit, so that would be 12. I don't have the number for Lab West
But, I mean, that would be a question for housing.
So when other departments are doing any kind of services in Labrador, do they consult with your department, or do they just do it standalone and you guys get the information after the fact?
No. I just don't want to answer for another minister, but
okay, fair.
Whether it's Labrador Affairs or Indigenous Affairs, if there's work happening in Labrador, then it definitely comes through our doors.
Perfect.
As well, and we have input into it. Yeah.
Fair answer. Thank you very
often
much.
Often providing guidance and support and local knowledge that maybe another department would not have.
Have you been, or anyone in the department, been in any conversations regarding low-level flying at the base in Goose Bay again?
I'm aware of you know, that there's some interest in coming back for low-level flying, and we think that's a good thing economically for the region, but we've been very clear that it has to be done in consultation with Indigenous people.
Would you have the statistics on unhoused individuals throughout Labrador, you know, by region and like a total number?
I don't have it, but I do know, and even from my time as the Minister for Housing, that there is a pretty fluid list in every area of Newfoundland and Labrador, and so there's a wait list, and there's some people that get priority, like if it's a young mom fleeing domestic violence or something, can be moved up the list. But it is always changing, and I know there's a lot of work happening right now in housing to contracting to get some units that needed to be repaired up and ready to open, and some money for new bills. Minister Hutton could certainly.
Do we have any idea how many people are in housing now? That some of the houses that have been deemed unfit, I know there's some of them are still occupied. Do we have any idea what that number is?
I wouldn't know the number. Okay.
Any consideration being given to assist business owners in Labrador encountering the major costs of security due to the high rate in crime, rising crime, and their location in relation to?
My colleague in industry, energy, and technology, there's a whole suite of programs and things there to support businesses. So there have been times in the past that, you know, very small number, but we might have referred some businesses that have had related questions over to IET for specific supports. I will say that we do have a great relationship in particular with the Labrador North Chamber of Commerce. They have a large membership and growing and doing some phenomenal work, so they're quite engaged and provide some really good services and supports to the business community as well.
Thank you, Major Parrott. We will come back to you if you have further questions. MHJ Evans, you will now have 10 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. I guess just to recap what the Minister has said, a lot of these items relating to Labrador, my district, and Labrador as a whole, Indigenous Affairs, and just the entire department, a lot of these questions I will direct towards Transportation, Department of Transportation, Department of Health, Department of Housing. Already directed questions to CSSD, Women and Gender Justice, and also Indigenous Affairs. So just want to put it on the record that because I'm not asking these questions specifically to the Minister, it doesn't mean they're not going to be asked. And I think the same thing can be said for my counterpart in the official opposition as well. So rather than take the time out of the estimates and take up your time, I will not be asking specific questions that the Minister will not be able to answer, right? I do expect, and I'm sure that she's a strong advocate for Labrador issues when it comes to the other departments and how their decision-making and their work impacts people in Labrador. So just moving forward now. Have we started with the line items? Not the line items, the sections. Have you read out the sections? I'm sorry, I was. It's just that a lot of times this is my 1, 2, 3, 4. I think this is my fourth estimates this week. So anyway.
She called MHA Evans 1.1.01 in executive support.
Okay, and I'm not sure if this one was answered, but 1.1.01. Why did Transportation and Communication run over budget? I know it's a new department, but...
The $8,500 difference was an increase reflected to anticipated a higher travel cost. And really there was a number of staff that went to Nunavut last September. And when you have a small budget, it doesn't take a lot to go over, and that would have attributed.
Yep. And usually at the beginning, we do have the option of asking some general questions, right? And I was just wondering...
Can you speak up a little bit? You're low. No, okay.
Okay, is that better? Okay, MHA Evans, Torn Gap Mountains, asking this general question is, the Department of Labrador Affairs interacts with the other departments. So have your department been involved with other departments such as finance, energy and climate change, to ensure that all regions are included in incentive programs and rebate programs? And the reason why I asked is I've asked a question in the House of Assembly several times where people in my region have been excluded specifically, where they've been actually written out of the eligibility of an incentive program from oil to electric, and they've been excluded financially from participating in rebate programs like the construction incentive that was introduced after COVID to sort of revitalize the construction industry.
So I can respond to that. I think if you were to ask my colleagues here tonight, somebody recently told me I was like a dog with a bone. I'm going to take it as a compliment. But I am knocking on every single door and sometimes even still educating my colleagues on different things in Labrador, the topic of which you speak, because my communities are on diesel as well, really doesn't sit good with me either. And even on the island, my colleague for Burgio LaPile, he has a number of diesel. And so the whole thing with rebates is to get people off burning fossils and to reduce emissions, and we don't have that option. But you will notice in the budget that there is a food and heat voucher that's going to be going to seniors. I think it's over 65 or 75, and it's in the district for people who live in the district of Torn Gat and Cartwright-Lanzaclair. And that is the two regions in Labrador that are on diesel. And so if we get through the budget, then that'll be rolling out. And I guess you can guess who was lobbying for that.
Yes. But thank you for that answer, Minister. And that's a really good initiative. But what I've come to experience as I become AMHA is a lot of the discrimination towards the Indigenous people in my district and people in my district as a whole, and a lot of it is directed towards Labradorians in general, is that there's a perception out there in the province that we are irresponsible when it comes to looking after ourselves and our houses and our abilities to conduct our lives at a certain level. And therein lies the root of some discrimination that I faced. And even though we gladly accept the voucher, and Minister, you probably feel the same way, but in actual fact, for us to get a voucher and the rest of the province not to get something like that, it puts us in that category again, where we're getting a handout. And in actual fact, when you look at it, the province-wide incentives, the province-wide rebate where everybody in the province should be able to access, we've been excluded, as I just pointed out. And so, unfortunately, this is going to be something, again, where we're going to be villainized, we're going to be marginalized, we're going to be cast down in the eyes of the general public, and it's basically going to add to the negative stereotype that we have. And I'm not saying that as a criticism of your department and what you're doing, because I really appreciate it. And every single person in my district is going to know that your government and your department, Minister, provided that to try and level the playing field, to try and help us have the same level of opportunity for heating our houses. And that's a positive thing. So I'm not being negative at all, but I'm just pointing out how sometimes people in the province perceive us. And Minister, you travel in this province and you say you're from Labrador. And so you're exposed to the same things I'm exposed to a lot of times. And my grandmother is an Inuit woman. She died this past year at the age of 105. She went to residential school. She couldn't speak a word of English. When she went, she was wearing her sealskin boots. And she raised her children. She was widowed early. And I got to say, for us to come from that, you know, and for me to be going to university and be in a classroom and people say, where are you from Labrador? They automatically assume that I travel to Labrador from the island or elsewhere. They automatically assume I'm a white person. And then the prejudice comes out of their mouth. And the things that they said about my people, about my family, about the people in my communities. And I tell you, Minister, you know yourself, if they knew the difference, they wouldn't have spoken it. Because that kind of discrimination and racism is hidden. It's hidden. What is talked about and is based on misinformation. And we know the difference because we live in Labrador. We come from Labrador. You know, we know we have educated people and we know the struggles that people come up with. So when I say I'm really grateful that we will be getting something to help with our food costs and our oil costs, don't you ever take what I said as something against you or against your department, what you're trying to do to try and level the playing field. But the rest of your government and the rest of the departments need to start trying to make sure that we're treated fairly. So with that, Minister, I'm down to my last minute, but I'll just ask another question now. I usually save most of the questions on transportation. I'll save that for the Department of Transportation, but has Nunatsiavut government requested to Labrador Affairs or Department of Transportation, anyone in the government, a return of the freight boat to the north coast from the island?
Thank you, MHA Evans. I'll just go back for a moment to the heat pumps and the rebates. It frustrates me as well. I have tried to push this file a number of times, and it's my understanding that the program within our provincial environment and climate change, the monies came from the federal government, and they came with parameters and criteria attached to it from the federal level, the money. That's my understanding, and it is because we're still on diesel. Regarding the freight boat, I will ask you to direct that question to my colleague, but I'll also add that last September, myself and the Minister for Transportation and Infrastructure, we flew into Goose Bay and we took the Hamatic, and we did the whole trip from Goose Bay right on up to Nain, and we met with people in every community, Inuit community government and Nunatsiavut if they were there, like First Minister, MHA Minister Evans that you would know, and then President Lamp at the end of the trip. And in every community, folks had discussions around the boat. Concerns ranged from the current service and how we could make improvements to that. And actually, a lot of the things that were really frustrating to the residents, we found out, were not big fixes, like why is there not a children's menu and things like that. But in terms of bringing back the freight boat, the minister was pretty clear in every community, you know, we've signed on to a 15-year contract, we're in year three or year four, I want to hear how you feel that we can work with you to improve this service. That was the essence. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I was with him, and you can also ask those questions of him when you go into the estimates.
Thank you. We're moving back now to MHJ Parrott for 10 minutes.
So we'll go to 1.1.01. Okay. Salaries increased from $493,000 to $503,000, despite having a $10,300 under budget last year. Can you explain why that happened?
The increase in funds was allocated for a 2% general salary increase.
Okay. purchase service budgets, despite being under budget last year, have been more than doubled in the new budget.
And that is pointing directly to hosting, is it?
Michelle Watkins. Yes, because we are hosting the Northern Development Ministers Forum and embarked on the MOU with Nunavut, we had led some meetings with Nunavut and also with our northern jurisdictions across the country, and that really escalated our budget.
The MOU that the Premier and I did in February in Ottawa, then we went to Nunavut, and we now have a working group between Nunavut and Labrador Affairs, and I think there's been a couple of meetings in Ottawa, and we're well underway into hosting the Northern Ministers Development Forum this coming fall. So that's, you're going to see some one-time increases here as we go through.
Okay. Operating accounts were $6,200 over budget. Is there an explanation?
Which number, sorry?
Still 1.1. It's
like an operating account.
0.01.
It's our transportation, which is what is contributing to most of the earnings.
Yeah. So last year we did travel. We went over in the number of conference cost and things like that one time. Yeah.
So I can move on to line item 2, but I got no more questions for
Her. Northern Lights Expo, those things that we pretty much generic expo every year, Northern Lights every second year, et cetera. Yeah.
MH Evans, do you have any further questions on this section? Okay.
Just getting back to my previous question there, I'm sticking to the generals. I did ask, did NG, the government, not the people, request a return of the freight boat? Did Nunatsiavut government approach the Department of Labrador Affairs requesting the department to advocate for a return of the freight boat?
MHA Evans, not to my knowledge. I have not seen any written correspondence or nothing.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to try and speak louder, too, and I'm going to start to identify myself again. MHA Evans, Turngat Mountains. The reason why I asked that question is the Innu of Napishish, the Innu Band Council, has been quite vocal in their desire to have a return of the freight service from the island, and they've written letters to the Premier as office, your office, stating the fact. The Inuit community governments, the Yang-Yukak from each Inuit community government, has stated verbally and also through email their desire to have a return of the freight boat. And I got everyone in the room for Labrador Affairs, it's so important for you to realize that the freight boat from the island is not only about the cost of food. It's not. It's about the cost of building materials. It's about the cost of accessing building materials and things like paint that are no longer sold in the stores because of the difficulty of getting them up to the stores now. It's about household goods, sofas, TVs, washers, dryers, refrigerators, all of those things. And what we witness is not only as the price, if you can get it in the North Coast communities, have significantly increased over cost increases all across the province, but what we've seen is a lack of availability of things that was available before, right? Your ability to go in down to the store in your community and buy what you need to for your day-to-day life. And that's having a big impact on our communities, and it's not only about cost. So that freight boat. Now, if we had been joined to Trans Labrador Highway, and we could drive over to Lyell West, and I think probably what would happen is if we were connected by road, we would have a Canadian Tire in Goose Bay. We probably would have a Walmart in Goose Bay. Because of the demand. And I also want to say, and I'll say to my colleagues here as well, they already know this, is One of the things that has been said to me is the MHA for Torngat Mountains. And this is budget related because it goes to the cost of living and how can you help people in Labrador. But it's been said that the removal of the freight boat from Northern Labrador has benefited only the businesses in Goose Bay. Not the people in Goose Bay, the businesses. And it seriously hurt the people on the North Coast, and it seriously hurt the businesses on the North Coast. And that's the message that resonates. And I think if you want, I mean, I have petitions, but I mean, I can even get letters from leaders in our communities to state that to you again. But anyway, it's so important that for us to be able to afford the cost of living, right? And you know yourself, because most of you are very familiar with Labrador, and especially Northern Labrador, the costs have gone up significantly over the cost of everything that we've seen in the province because of COVID, right? But anyway, that's all I had for section one. I do have a lot of questions for the other sections.
See, we have
Chair, if I just could respond to that. Just a couple of things. I do want to say that Minister Abbott and myself have traveled up the North Coast twice and actually went through grocery stores, looked at the cost and things. We do have, there is a Nutrition North program, $132 million program federally. I've been in Ottawa a couple of times advocating for additional items to be added to that, and vouchers for going out on the land and things like that. And following the trip, I think for the as the MHA, it's important for you to know that we did write an Inatsiavut government and offer to work with them around the food insecurity piece. And we did follow up a few months later and send a subsequent letter. I can appreciate that with the cost of living is at a high and people are struggling. I do know that when we've had these conversations with the communities in particular that you represent, we did explain that it is almost 100% subsidy with freight and things like that. The freight rates got reduced by about 40% from what it was before this one vessel came on. I just wanted to share that with you, but you're probably already aware of that.
Thank you. And seeing there's no further questions, I ask the clerk to recall the subheading.
1.1.01, Executive and Support Services.
Shall 1.1.01 carry? All in favor? Against? Carries. All right. I ask the clerk to call the next set of headings, please.
2.1.01 to 2.1.02 inclusive, Labrador Affairs.
Thank you, and I recognize MHA Parrott, 15 minutes.
MHA Parrott. 2.1.01, despite having been under budget, salaries are increasing from $618,800 to $631,200. Can you explain why?
That's again from the 2% general salary increase.
Okay. Purchase services over budget by $4,000 last year, and it's increasing from $9,500 to $110,800 this year.
And that is
the meetings.
An increase of we've set aside $100,000 to host a 2024 Northern Development Ministers Forum.
Property furnishings and equipment was over budget by $5,000 last year. Any indication why?
So there was some broken chairs and things like that in the boardroom in Happy Valley Goose Bay. Rough shape, almost a safety issue if you'd ask me. And they were ordered. But in the end, I don't think that went ahead. It wasn't spent? No. No.
The operating accounts budget is increasing by $100,000 this year despite being under budget last year. Can you explain why?
Where is that?
It's a toll, so it's purchase services, the $100,000.
Yeah, that's directly linked to the one-time form that we're hosting.
Yeah. Same money, same pot of money it is, yeah?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Grants and subsidies being cut by more than half. Line items losing $2.5 million.
Yeah, so it's not cut. Last year, we were very successful in going to Treasury Board and Budget 23, included a $3.2 million. It was one-time funding. And I mentioned in my opening comments that we bought. So Labrador Affairs is responsible for grooming and maintaining over 700 kilometers of trail in all of northern Labrador. That's their winter highway, and in my district, Black Tickle and Norman Bay. And so we purchased new groomers for Regolith, Postville, Black Tickle, a number of grooming garages, grooming shelters, trail markers, a partnership with Smart Ice. All of that was a one-time funding, except what we were hearing when we visited the North Coast, clearly with the cost of things gone up, the base amount of funding that we had set aside for trail support, $471,000, wasn't enough. So we did increase the base to $611,000 overall.
Okay. Can you tell me what stakeholders currently avail of grants and subsidies from the department?
Yeah, sure. Last on the list. Grants and subsidies. So we have the Labrador Sport Travel Subsidy, Combined Councils of Labrador, Labrador Aboriginal Nutritional and Artistic Assistance Program, Labrador Winter Games, the Labrador Transportation Grooming Subsidy, and then we have a small amount every year, very small, community-based funding, $7,500. And sometimes it varies where we put that. Last year we used a $7,500, partnered with the Friendship Center in Happy Valley Goose Bay, and they used it for a school snacks program that went over really, really well.
So any stakeholders or programs expected to lose their grants or subsidies this year?
No.
So line item 2.1.02?
Yep.
So under budget last year, salaries increasing from 2.5800 to 2,500,000, sorry, to 2,856,000. Can you explain?
Salaries?
Yep.
So we are on to medical transportation.
It is, yep.
So there was a decrease due to employee turnover and the time required to backfill some of the positions. You're referencing the 164,000, right?
No, I'm referencing a 300 and...
Oh, the increase.
$56,000 increase.
Yes, so $50,000. Pertains to a 2% general salary increase, and $305,500 was reallocated from health and community services to fund five client service officer positions. So in budget 23, I mean, this program was housed in the massive Department of Health, and it took a little bit of back and forth, I'll be honest, between us and health to get it right-sized. So the ADM came and the staff came, and then we there you'll see down through a few extra pieces that came along, and that 305 gave us another five positions, trying to right size, trying to get processing time decreased and things like that. Yeah, extra staff.
Transportation communications was over budget last year by $23,400. An explanation.
That was cost for telecommunications for the MTAP program and mail, and it was higher than we had budgeted for.
So that's for setup of an office, basically, I guess.
No, just people calling in and leaving, messages. The whole system of people calling in to ask about claims and things like that. I'm not missing anything. A call recording system.
Gotcha. Communications budget, transportation communications budget increasing from $17,500 to
$80,600. So that increase was a reallocation from health, community service, to provide anticipated operating funding for the mail and the telecommunications requirement. Because we had just some of the figures, I mean, we inherited. No, sorry, I'm talking about something else. That's what it's for, the voice recording and, yeah.
Supplies went over budget by $9,200 last year.
Just general office supplies that were, higher than budgeted.
We never had the allocated money from health.
Yeah, we didn't have the allocated money from health at that time. We were kind of using what we had.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah.
And there is a massive increase this year from $500 to $23,700. That's an increase of 47 times. Is there?
The increase was a reallocation from Health and Community Service to provide the anticipated operating funding for the general office supplies. Reasonable. We've got a program now, an extra 50 staff, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So the previous number, $9,200, was that based on how many months would that be based on? Because it's still a large increase based over that.
Sherry Snow, that was based on amounts starting in about October.
Okay. Yeah. Purchase services over budget by $1,200 last year and has now increased from $3,500 to $12,300. Mr. Explanation.
It's the same reason, Sherry.
Yeah, it's the same reason. Those are all tied to the program coming in trying to right size it.
Okay. Property furnishings and equipment was not budgeted at all last year. You had an expenditure of $5,300 and is now into the budget with a $5,500 line item.
It was the same, yeah. Cost for ergonomic related requirements were higher than budgeted.
Operating accounts went over budget by $42,500, and it's increased from $21,000 to $122,000.
That's a summary.
Substantial increase, five times.
Yeah. That's the subtotal, the summary of all the bits and pieces that you asked about. Yeah.
Allowances and assistance were under budget by $339,000. Any explanation for that?
Notable amount, yes. Yeah. So I referenced at the beginning that the medical transportation program is basically open to all 526,000 residents of the province. The ISMT, the income support, is about 20,000 people that use the program, because people that might be right here in the city get their bus passes and it's a little bit different, whereas if you live further out you rely on the program. And the demand for that program, I'm quickly finding out, I've only had it for a year, the demand base varies from year to year depending upon a client's health issues, the number of appointments they might need to attend, and it was just it wasn't as high a demand. Perhaps next year might be double that. Right. No other explanation.
Yeah, I'm good.
Thank you. MHA
Evans. Thank you, Chair. MHA Evans, Trungat Mountains. Minister, what initiatives is your department directly involved in that are working to help and advocate for artists to market their products and expand business opportunities and also private sector investment in Labrador? Are there any specific initiatives that you're involved with?
She can speak to it. Yeah. The artistic program.
I don't want to. I'm aware of some things happening in other departments, but I wouldn't really want to speak because my department is not leading. But, I mean, just this year, as the 75th anniversary of our union with Canada, you will have seen a number of different incentives and programs that have been publicly advertised that artists can apply for.
Thank you for your answer. And I wasn't going to ask you specifically, but I just thought I might, in case there was something that you were working on or advocating for. What's the total budget for the provincial travel subsidy for sports? And are there plans to expand the program to allow athletes to travel more effectively, efficiently from to and from Labrador? And also, how many people have used the program last year?
So the school sports and the Labrador sport travel combined is $830,000, and we did increase that program last year by $100,000. And our this year, we had more uptake this year, and that's a very positive thing. I know you and I both are very passionate about helping our young people get out and participate in provincial competitions, etc. We had 87 individual subsidies and 59 team subsidies that would have traveled from Labrador out.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that answer. MHA Evans for Trungat Mountains. Mining companies have been asking for more electricity. Is something that you hear from the member from Lab West. Been asking for more electricity to support and potentially expand our operations in Labrador. So what's your department done to advance this issue? I know it's under Department of Energy, right? But in terms of your advocacy, anything you can specifically point to?
Well, I can tell you that part of our job is certainly to make our colleagues aware, and they are very, very aware. In what month did we have the summit? This winter, February.
February.
There you go. So in February, some key stakeholders in Labrador West in particular, where this is a pressing issue, held a summit. And there was a very big contingent there from the province, including the Premier, the Minister of Industry, Energy and Technology, myself, and Housing, and a number of our staff that are here around me and behind me today. And Hydro was there, the CEO of Hydro NL. And I do know that conversations are happening. They're happening with industry players. We recognize the need that more power is needed if they are to grow. And I think what it comes down to now, and I don't want to speak for that department, but it's working out the cost and who pays for what and things like that. So those conversations are happening, and it's a very active file.
Thank you, MHA Evans. I was going to ask if quite a few of my questions have already been asked by my colleague with the official opposition, so I don't have to ask a lot of the questions. And you did cover some initiatives there with the food voucher program for North Coast. I was wondering about the Nutrition North. I have just got to go back to the Nutrition North subsidy. A lot of complaints since they changed the way the subsidy was put on for food and how it's managed. And if you've been up into my district, you've seen evidence of gouging, and you've probably seen posts on social media that showed a lot of issues. We've also seen investigative reports from CBC that have produced evidence that stores across Canada, and not specifically for my district, have been actually charging for the subsidy but not putting it onto the food. But Minister, the issue with the Nutrition North subsidy is it's only on the transportation cost, the freight cost of the food. And the problem is the food, it gets put on the plane in Goose Bay. It gets put on the boat in Goose Bay. And the problem is the cost of food, of getting it to Goose Bay or purchasing in Goose Bay, is really costly for businesses. So therefore, is there any work being done to look at like the overall transportation of the food before it gets to Goose Bay? And maybe if we could have that subsidized, it would actually help us out with the loss of the freight boat from the island.
So we're certainly aware of the concerns, and as I mentioned, we walk through many of the retail, and one of the things that really concerned us also is when we met with folks in Regalit, comes to mind in particular. It was in the middle of the summer, and even though the boat was coming every week, the business there was still flying in and, you know, not taking advantage of being able to bring in bulk at a cheaper rate. So we did observe a number of things, and that is why when we came back, we really wanted to partner with Nunatsiavut government and try and see if we could not get the residents of that area to a better place when it came to food variety, food cost, and things like that. And we have reached out, and we're certainly really willing to work with them if they so want to respond and invite us to the table to do that. One of the mysteries, I think, MHA Evans, is we were given a number of examples where, I'm going to use a chicken because everybody talks about a chicken, but if a chicken is, let's say, $12 in Goose Bay, and we subsidized, a provincial government subsidized a freight by almost 100%, why is that chicken maybe $30 when it gets to a community? So those are some of the questions that we have as well, because I know the cost of living is really high. I'm there couple times a year, and I really I know that it's a challenge for people. But we're willing to reach out and partner and do what we can to try and combat some of that.
Yes, Minister. Thank you for that answer, and I actually could provide additional information for that answer. Is a lot of times the small businesses in Northern Labrador have to purchase things from wholesalers on the island, similar as businesses in Goose Bay. Mm-hmm. But the problem is the population in Goose Bay is servicing Southern Labrador and Northern Labrador residents who come by, especially Southern Labrador, who come up and buy things and drive it back. But also the population of Goose Bay is in the thousands, as opposed to a small community that may be 400. So really, you can't actually, if you're selling a 1,000 chicken legs, you can mark it up by 5 cents if you're going to sell 1,000. But if you're only selling maybe 50 chicken legs, you can't, you got to mark it up more than say 5 cents or 10 cents. Mm. So therefore, supply and demand is also factoring in. And that's why it's so important to have the cost of the freight is subsidized, so that we can have low food costs. We don't even expect to have them high. We expect them to be extremely high. But what we're seeing now is it's beyond extremely high, right? And unfortunately, it's probably the only people on the North Coast who's listening to this can understand what I just said. But it is a problem. I'm not going to ask you the question there about the Quebec regional air subsidies that I raised in the House of Assembly, because I'm going to ask the Department of Transportation. But I would ask you to help advocate for some sort of air transportation subsidy, as I've been raising in the House, like through the petitions and through question period. My next question is, has there been any progress made in reducing the transient and homeless populations in Happy Valley, Goose Bay, by moving them into shelter and providing new support? So are you reducing the transient and homeless population?
So thank you for that question. And I'll just go back. One of the things that I forgot to mention, and you may be aware, and I'm sure the Minister of Transportation and Infrastructure would share this statistic with you, but and it doesn't apply to everyone in the, I know that you represent people that live from check to check, so it maybe don't apply to them, but the number of people in on the North Coast taking their vehicles out and bringing it back filled with food and their trucks filled with freight and things, when we sat down in the communities and had meetings, we did hear that as a very positive thing, that for the first time they're able to go out to the island perhaps or to Goose Bay and load up and come back. And we do have statistics on the vehicles and passengers and freight numbers that have gone up year over year, so that's a positive. But I know it don't cover 100%. It's like the same thing with the people I represent in Southern Labrador. Some have the ability to go out and then even perhaps bring home bulk fuel and things like that. But I know that some of the lower income don't. Regarding the transient population in Central Labrador, there is a tremendous amount of resources and time going into that file. The Premier's eyes are on that file all the time, and we want to help move those people to a better place. In terms of the waitlist housing, in terms of the number of people on the ground, it kind of really varies. When from my time in housing, we have a partnership with the Nanatsivut government, and they run the shelter there. And then as the number of people needing access to shelter grew, then we were using also another facility there locally. You would be aware, the Lab Inn, because we didn't want people turned away who needed those supports. Sometimes the numbers have been higher and sometimes they've been lower. We've done a point in time count. I'm just going to turn over to Michelle to speak to that for a moment.
Michelle Watkins. Yes, this year we really increased outreach efforts. When I say we, it's a collective with the community and the support organizations that support the vulnerable population. So outreach has been a real successful thing. We've come together as a community and tried to connect them to supports. One of the activities is a point in time count to kind of get a sense of how many people are representing as homeless at any given time. And we've conducted two, one last summer, one last fall. And now that snow has left Happy Valley Goose Bay, we plan to do another one this probably May, I would suspect, so that we have a good handle. But yes, as the minister said, numbers vary.
Thank you. So, M.A. Javens, you still need some more time. You have more questions?
Yes, I do.
M.A. J. Pavis?
Yeah. A little statement, I guess, really. My previous life in the military, I worked as a recruiting officer, and I spent 9 years with search and rescue. I was born and raised in Labrador West, so it's an interesting perspective to have a minister and two MHAs from Labrador actually asking these questions tonight. Each small community in Labrador represents different issues and problems, and I think we're all very aware of that. If you go to northern Labrador, Coujouac, Sagalick, and different areas, or you go to Labrador West, everything is quite unique and different. The work that you and your department does is very important and very difficult, and I understand that the issues are diverse and broad. I recently had my nephew just get posted to Goose Bay as an RCMP officer, so I get another entirely unique perspective from what conversations are with him. So I'd just like to thank you for your openness tonight and what you brought to the table and the work that was done by your department coming in, and I appreciate what you do, and I just strongly encourage you to lobby as hard as you possibly can, and I have no doubt that you do that. So thank you, and it was.
Thank you, MHA Parrott. And only when you were speaking did I realize that we've got the South Coast, Labrador West, and the North here, because yeah. I know that Labrador West, you're proud to call that your home. I grew up in a time, born and raised my lifetime on the coast, grew up isolated, and everyone around me were people that were from the outside. Our teachers came in, our nurses came in. Our elected officials were never local, and so it comes for me with a great deal of pride, but also because I know the issues, I feel the weight of the responsibility, and I certainly do my best to make sure that my colleagues are aware of the challenges and work with me to try and find solutions. Thank you. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you. M.A.J. Evans.
Thank you, Chair. MHA Evans, Torngat Mountains. Just to add or, I guess, provide clarity to the minister's comments about the increase in people being able to get on the boat and take their vehicles into Goose Bay and go shopping, fill it up, and then get back on the boat and go to their communities. I just want to clarify for people who are listening in who may not understand the geography of the North Coast. Because that sounds ideal. Like, say, for example, Belle Island. You get on the boat, you come over, you shop in St. John's, you go home. If you did that in Nain, you would get on the boat, and then you would actually travel into Goose Bay. But you wouldn't be able to return home with your vehicle full of food or supplies for almost a week. So you'd have to take a week off work to go in and fill up. You'd probably have to do it on your time off, like your vacation. This is not something that most communities, with the exception of Riglet, which is really close and can avail of the extra ferry that goes into Black Tickle. Most of the people have to lose 3 to 4 to 5 days. So it's a planned thing that they probably would be doing once throughout the entire summer. And you'd have to have a vehicle that you would be able to take with you. So it's not something that's really something that can supplement a large part of your food, your access to food. And then also, too, is the boat hasn't been running until late June. So if you're going to be doing this, it would only be during the very short season of the summertime. So like the end of June, you may be able to do that. So most families who have a vehicle that can afford the time off would be doing that once or twice during the season. And then you run into the problem of being able to actually be able to book a passage for you and your boat, you and your vehicle. So I'm just clarifying, Minister, and it's not a criticism of anything you said, but it's just putting in perspective of listeners who really don't understand the geography of Northern Labrador. Because if somebody listened to that answer and they would say, okay, well, they can take their boat, because most places here on the island, you have year-round access to ferries. And one of the things that I mentioned, too, is that when you look at ferry travel from communities, it's usually from an island to the mainland. And I keep talking, I talked about it a lot when I first got elected because people didn't really know, is that all of my communities are land-based communities. They're not on islands. You know, Black Tickle in the minister's district is on an island. So the only reason why we have to rely on the ferry in the summertime is because we don't have access to the Trans-Labrador Highway. So just adding clarification to that. But I just wanted to move on with the questions now. And last year you mentioned, Minister, it was mentioned in estimates that Indigenous leaders sent flights to Happy Valley Goose Bay to try and bring some of their homeless people home. So the actually Indigenous leaders sent flights to Goose Bay to pick up members in their community and bring them home. So whose initiative was this, and who pays for this initiative? Also, when the person arrives back in their home community, are there any added supports for them to help deal with their needs and their issues so that they don't actually end up back in Lake Melville again?
Thank you, MHA Evans, for the question. So some of that might be able to be transferred over to the Indigenous Affairs Estimates, which is happening next week, but I will answer. Aircrafts have been sent into Central Labrador to bring membership home on a number of occasions, and that is the was an incentive taken by the leadership in those communities. So if it was Nanatsivit government, I imagine it was them. If it was Innu Nation, that would have come from, they would have covered that cost. But as leadership in their community, recognizing that some of their people were struggling, they put mechanisms in place whereby those people could go back to their home communities. Because what we were dealing with, we talk about homeless, but many of the people that are in Central Labrador are not homeless, they're transient. And as you would know, they have homes back in their home communities. And sometimes, you know, due to addictions and trauma and things like that, and they're coming from dry communities, and this is what their leadership have told us. We've had many, many meetings. They've really gone above and beyond. As you know, even a mayor in a community can't control their residents, but some of these leaders have gone above and beyond to try and provide supports for their people to get back. And I do know that they have a number of various programs and supports that they offer within their communities through social workers and medical people and things like that. No different in Nanatsivit that you would be quite familiar with, even in your hometown. There's a, you know, different large buildings with a lot of different levels of support and services. I don't know if I've thoroughly answered that.
Thank you. You made a good try. Certainly won't fault you for trying. I know, because, I mean, really, technically, I had a note there to ask Department of Health, and I had forgot about the Indigenous Affairs component. And actually, a lot of the questions, Minister, that I had relating to Labrador and my district sort of falls under the Department of Health. Like some public health questions about harm reduction. Harm reduction efforts, the action team in Happy Valley Goose Bay, you know, the community needs assessment conducted for the action team. All of these things, there's good questions there. But of course, your office, your department now is, I guess, tasked with advocating, but more importantly, it would be under Indigenous Affairs. But I'll save those questions for Department of Health.
I will say that we're quite involved with health in a lot of that. Sometimes it's tripartite meetings. I'm in health with the health minister, and it's Ottawa, and it's, sometimes it's the Indigenous groups together, and sometimes it's bilateral meetings where myself and the health minister will be meeting with NG or with Innu Nation or whatever. Usually, especially if it's pertaining to Indigenous, I'm usually in partnership with the health minister there.
So, like I said, I do have specific questions about many issues, but I'll save them for Department of Health. And initially, when I was talking about the departments, I think I forgot to mention Department of Education, because that's another, you know, that's another department there that, that has a lot of different issues that's specific to Labrador and different regions of Labrador, Southern Labrador, Lab West, geography, the isolation, the access, everything is different. Northern Labrador is totally different. So, but I'll save those questions for the different departments. Just looking at 2.1.02, medical transportation. I got a general question here about MTAP. Last year in estimates, you mentioned that the work was progressing on the review of MTAP and that it would be a long process. So would you just like to provide us with a brief update now that a year's passed?
Yeah, so the Medical Transportation Assistance Program, it is a provincial program open to all residents of the province who have to travel to access specialized services. It came under the purview of Labrador Affairs in Budget 23. It came with an additional $1 million. We did take a deep dive to see where we could allocate that $1 million, where we would get the best bang for our buck, and that the end user, the patient on the ground, would we would be helping ease the burden for people who needed to use the program. We talk with MHAs, all of the MHAs offices. If you're out very far outside the overpass, this is a you know, something that you get calls to all the time, people who have to travel. And so I went through in my opening remarks a number of the enhancements that we made as a result of that, including a flight voucher program where folks who need to travel can now get the first 100% of the first $1,000 up front, so they're not putting it on their credit card and waiting a couple of months to be reimbursed. We did increase the daily meal per diem. We increased the overnight hotel costs for in-province and out-of-province, and some of the percentage that you were eligible for, the 100% of your first 1,000, and then it's 75% up to 8,000, and then we actually added the benefit of where after someone spends 8,000 in a year in the program, they'll get 85% subsidy. So that's something that we didn't have there before. On the island, with the high cost of gas, high cost of living, folks who needed to travel on the island used to have a 400 kilometer deductible for out of province, and we eliminated that so that from the first kilometer they would be eligible to claim that back. And also people who use private accommodations, that's something that wasn't in the program and something that I strongly advocated for when I was an opposition MHA, actually. So that's there as well.
Thank you. We'll go back to MHA Parrott. Did you have anything further? No? MHA Evans, do you have any further questions?
Yes, I do.
Go right ahead. Yep.
Thank you, Chair. Just looking at 2.1.02, and MTAP, Medical Transportation Program, I know there's been a lot of work done, especially recently, and I know that your department has taken it, taken a program inside the department. But I was wondering, will this department consider revising the MTAP program to reimburse patients 100% of the travel costs, medical travel costs?
So, some folks, yes, the program came under Labrador Affairs with Budget 23, and some folks might wonder, why did a provincial program come under Labrador Affairs? And I think even though provincially we're only 6% of the population, we do use the program 5.5 times more than our residents on the island, and that's for obvious reasons. We live far from specialized services. When the program came in, it came with an additional $1 million. We invested that. Before we got through the year, we had expended another $700,000. So it's an increase of almost $2 million. I think the total cost is now around $5.5 million just for MTAP. And the ISMT is 6.4. So it's $11 or $12 million right now. And what I can say, MHA Evans, is we are constantly reviewing, evaluating, looking to see, what extra money that we might need to you know, better help the user of the program.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister. MHA Evans, Turgot Mountains. I know it costs a lot for people to travel for medical, and I know it costs the province a lot to even fund the medical transportation program. And we've seen recent improvements. That's really good. But Minister, has there been any work done now that the Provincial Health Authority is all under one, and there's no Labrador, Grenfell Health Authority, no Eastern, Western, Central Health Authorities? Is there any thoughts to increasing and improving the medical health services out of Labrador? You know, we've seen where we've had a major hospital, a major health center for Labrador in the Northern Peninsula, St. Anthony. So people still had to fly. People still have to fly to St. Anthony. And now a lot of the resources, health supports, is in St. John's. You still have to fly. And we see that they're starting to use a lot of the facilities in Western. So a lot of my friends and relatives now are flying down to Corner Brook, Deer Lake region, flying into Deer Lake, going over to Corner Brook to get a lot of the testing done and procedures. We wouldn't have to pay so much for medical travel if we had those resources at home in Labrador. If you could fly into Goose Bay or travel over to Lab West, we wouldn't have to spend so much to get to our healthcare. And Minister, this is budget, this is estimates, and this is related to how the government spends its money for healthcare. Because I tell you, if the province is investing in healthcare in Labrador, putting in services and supports in Labrador, then people are not out of pocket when they have to travel. Because if somebody needs to have like a surgery or see a specialist and it's in St. John's, they're out of pocket, right? But if they could go to Goose Bay, more than likely, if they're out of pocket, it's very little. So in actual fact, you would reduce the burden of costs for people to be able to look after their own health and have quality of health care, access quality health care, if we had more resources in Labrador. And you're a Labradorian, a proud Labradorian. And my colleague to my left is, we grew up in Labrador, right? So one of the things that we should be doing is we should be questioning why the resources are not there for Labrador. They're there for Central, they're there for Western, they're there for Eastern, but most of our health care really was on the Northern Peninsula, right? So I was just wondering, is your department advocating for more resources to be put in to Labrador to have their own medical supports?
Thank you, MHA, for the question, and it's broad, and I'll just try to provide a brief answer, and it is really important. I think there's nothing more important than the health supports in our communities. One of the things that we grapple with in Labrador is we're a very small population spread over a large, large landmass. And so it's very hard to, even if we had a state-of-the-art facility, would we be able to entice specialists to work there? We know that as we emerge from a global pandemic, not just across the country, but the globe, we were sort of building from the ground up, and every day it's a part of discussion here in the House of Assembly. In the Health Accord, which is kind of our roadmap now guiding us by, you know, Dr. Pat Parfrey and Sister Elizabeth Davis did an incredible amount of work there. They looked at models of healthcare down through different places like the United States and beyond, that even virtual care is working. And I know people don't like change, and I'm somebody who don't like change either, and especially healthcare, it scares you. But I had an experience even in my own constituency, Christmas time, in my little health center in Forteau, where we had a doctor, virtual care. We did have continuity. He was from Ontario, and he provided the virtual care for a three-week period while our one and only doctor took a break. And people were worried about that, and it actually worked out well. And I moved, when I was on the ground, I heard good feedback. People said, you know, so-and-so was in there and it went well. In terms of diversion and things like that, I do want to say MHA Evans, a lot of, all around the province, we've struggled with health care and diversion have happened. Like people in Beaver, that area, were traveling further than my people were in Southern Labrador for health services. So I think what we have to look at is if we can't have, if we don't have the numbers, how do we get the best service that we can? And sometimes that may be virtual care, that may be a better ear ambulance system, and those are all initiatives that we're really taking serious and that we're working on so that we can provide the best care as possible to the people of Labrador and the province.
Thank you, Minister. I think you already answered this question about the department increasing the caps for reimbursement of expenses. You already answered that one. I think I'll go in and listen to the record as opposed to have to put you through that again. How will the extra allowances and assistance money be allotted? And will there be any new initiatives, or will a higher percentage of travel costs be covered, or is this just accounting for inflation? Now, some of that you touched on, but if you wanted to...
Are you asking specifically about MTAP?
Yep. The travel allowances and assistance.
Yes, yeah. So we took the first $1 million and we allocated it, and you will see it. I gave a really thorough overview in my opening remarks of the allocation into meals, per diems, hotels, and also in terms of the percentage. Once you go over a certain amount and you get an increased percentage, all of that is there. And we've also, I don't know how much information's in the binder, but we have binders here to share. And we're happy to answer your questions anytime going for further more specific ones.
No, that's really good. And I kind of threw that out there just to, in case there was something that you didn't cover. Because it's really difficult when you have a colleague who's asking questions that's similar but not exactly as the same ones you're asking. So I was just, a lot of times we were trying to weed through our questions that you've already answered. Yeah. And I do appreciate the effort you're putting in here tonight. I did have a question about your department and the role it plays in advocating for Labrador. And one of the things I'll mention, I did ask a question earlier about mining in Lab West. They really need more energy to be able to expand a lot of their operations. And that's something my colleague from Lab West has been advocating for and dealing with the Minister of Energy. But, you know, I was just wondering about the role of Labrador Affairs in this advocacy role, because that's the reason why the department has been created. And also, Minister, relating to dust studies in Lab West, we're still waiting for those. So I was just wondering, like, I could use examples from my district, but I'll use the my colleagues from Lab West. Like for those dust studies, is so important for the community, and also the need for, you know, more energy to be able to expand, right? In an economy now where we're trying to, I guess we're trying to encourage investments from businesses and companies. So I was just wondering, like, how would your department, which is a new department, how will you increase your advocacy, say, for example, using those as two examples, you know, sort of like to sort of justify have a standalone Department of Labrador Affairs?
So that's a broad kind of statement again. I think the energy question I answered earlier, if you go back to Hansard, I went into some detail about the energy needs and working with the bigger, you know, IOC and TACORA and those people, and it's sort of now come down to who covers the cost and how much and things like that. And I've just lost what, in terms of me advocating for Labrador, I do that all the time. We're speaking about mining. This year in the budget, you would have seen supports, increased supports for mineral exploration, geoscience, I'm very passionate about. I know this is all close to you as well. And because if we can get in and do the geoscience, then it makes it more feasible for other companies to come in, et cetera. So, yeah, we take that role pretty serious, and small but mighty shop. And every single day, we touch almost every department in government, I would say.
So, MHJ Evans, do you have any further questions?
Yes.
Okay. We'll put time on again.
Yeah. MHA Evans, Strongat Mountains. I spoke broadly about the advocacy of Labrador Affairs. But it's my understanding the purpose of Labrador Affairs having its own department is because of the unique region and the need for advocacy. So the whole justification of having a Department of Labrador Affairs is so you could increase your advocacy, that you can interact with other ministers on a ministerial level to sort of put the lens of Labrador, you know, at the forefront of any decision-making. Same with women and gender equality, right? Without that need for that lens, the department really has no justification to exist. So I was just asking, like, say, for example, with Lab West, really, they have the ability to expand their operations, to generate more revenue for the province, to actually have more employment, just to expand the economy, not only for Lab West, but for the entire province. And right now, we're seeing that, the bottleneck is with energy. They need more energy to be able to actually feed in the expansion of the operations. Looking at something about human health, the whole community is impacted by dust. Every year there's issues with dust. We've been promised dust studies. Every year it's the same thing. So what I was trying to ask is, how do your department make a difference because you exist, right? Your department exists to advocate, to put the Labrador lens on it. So how would you put the Labrador lens in the day-to-day operations when you're dealing with the Minister of Energy? And you got my colleague from Lab West constantly asking on behalf of his constituents, on behalf of his businesses, for more energy so we could expand. And also, too, is his constituents are concerned about their health. You're concerned about quality of life. It impacts your car, your grass, your house, your clothes, your everything, the dust. Also, it's a human factor, in terms of people breathing it in, people with asthma, those sort of things. So it's a good opportunity now for, to show how your department is earning its keep. So that's the reason why I asked the question, and that's what I was looking for, some sort of information about the role that the Labrador Affairs as a separate department plays.
So thank you, MHA Evans. You mentioned the word advocacy a lot. I think as MHAs, we do a lot of that, ensuring that our constituents have access to basic services. In terms of the Department of Labrador Affairs, basically, we're responsible for the development, the implementation, and the administration of provincial policies and programs from a Labrador and a rural remote perspective. I'm administering a provincial program, MTAP, and what I bring to that is my own experience and understanding for more than a decade of representing a rural constituency, so I understand the geographical challenges of traveling for healthcare, et cetera. So that's kind of, in a nutshell, what the mandate of the Labrador Affairs is. We are unique. We're far from services. There's a reason why we have an office of the Labrador Affairs and we don't have an office of the Buren Peninsula. In terms of the dust, we are aware of the concern. We've been up there. We've had meetings with the companies. And I'm going to let the ADM for Labrador Affairs speak to that. Before I do, I want to say that NL Hydro is the body in this province that is legislatively responsible for power. And I do know that NL Hydro is working closely on this energy matter. And when the Minister of Industry, Energy and Technology was in Lab West just a month or so ago, I do know that he was speaking a meeting with those bigger businesses and corporations on the same matter to bring them up to date. I don't know if you want to speak to the dust.
Michelle Watkins. Yeah, regarding the dust, we've heard that continues to be an issue, and we continue to work and communicate with the Environment and Climate Change on that, and they do provide us updates. So they monitor it based on their regulatory regime. So just wanted to share it with you. I would make a note, Minister, on the energy. We also work, as you referenced, it is under Hydro, but Labrador Affairs is very much engaged. We are at a table with, for example, a mining company, along with the Newfoundland Labrador Hydro and IET, that's working towards looking for increased power. So they're working diligently, and we have the opportunity to be at that table.
Thank you.
MHA Evans, Trent Edmonds, thank you for your answer. And just for clarification purposes, I did the budget estimates for environment and climate change, and I asked the minister, because this has been ongoing. We've been bringing this question forward every year, and the dust studies, haven't been done. And that's, I guess, one of the reasons why I raise it with you as well, because normally I would just deal with the department. But anyway, thank you for your answer. I think we're at the end of it, Chair.
Okay. Seeing no more questions, I ask the clerk to call the subheading, please.
2.1.01 to 2.1.02 inclusive, Labrador Affairs.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.1.02 carry? All in favor? Against? Carried.
Total?
Shall the total carry? All those in favor? Against? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of Labrador Affairs? Approved. All those in favor? All those against? Carried. Thank you, Minister, and your department, and I will get you to say a few closing remarks. First, I want to remind everybody that the next meeting is scheduled for Friday, which is tomorrow at 1 o'clock, and that's going to be Government Services NL. And, Minister, I ask you if you'd like to have some closing remarks.
I'll just say thank you. It's a really important process. We have to be transparent with the taxpayer's purse, and I appreciate the respectful nature of the questions from both of my colleagues.
Thank you, and I want to express thank you to the clerk and all those in attendance, and especially the staff for their time and patience this evening. And I ask for a mover now to adjourn the meeting. M.H.A. Clapper and M.H.A. Evans.
Thank you guys so much.
All those in favor?
Yeah. Thank you.
Against? Carried. Meeting adjourned.